Our reading this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Hillary, for that. It's great to be with you. You have been so welcoming this week, so very warm, so gracious with me as I try to say your name and then totally get it wrong. I'm very thankful for this first week with you. Many of you whom I've been able to see throughout the week and spend time with. I also want to say a big thank you for last week, too, for the wonderful service that many of you were a part of and the hospitality through the food. Some of you met my parents, and it was really fun to hear what they shared afterwards of just conversations with you. That was something that is precious to me, so thank you for that as well. Here I am, and I get to share with you today, there's some trepidation because, if we were dating, this would be like the prelim to the first date almost. We're like right at the start. We still look really good. All of us still really look good. And we've heard good things about each other, but we're getting to know each other. So I will be gracious with you. Please continue to be gracious with me when I assume things or I miss something. But I come with excitement today to share with you and excitement for the months and hopefully years to come together. Dear Lord, thank you that you are in our midst and you are faithful and good, and in the midst of so much change in life, you never change. Some of us have long history with you. We've experienced your love, known your forgiveness over and over and over, and can speak of your wonders and might. Some of us are just starting to glimpse who you are. Thank you, no matter where we might be with you, God, you are here and present, and you desire us to know you as a loving God, a creative God, one who is passionate about teaching his children and walking alongside them. I pray simply today that we might remember what we've forgotten about you, or that we might learn something new, or for some of us maybe to be encouraged or challenged in a new way. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We do have a few friends from Hong Kong here for the first time. I met some of them at the Place of Welcome this week, and I think I'm going to get this right. How are you is Li Hao Ma? Is that correct? Yes, 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 Li Hao Ma. For the rest of you, welcome. I'm going to put up on screen a photo. You're going to see my sisters. That bottom one are my two sisters. We're very, very different. I'm the oldest of the three of us. And then on the top is the team that I've worked with the last so many years. And I share that to say, one, just like you, I come from a family, and we have our unique intricacies and the things that we love to do together and the things that other families think are odd about us. And I come with unique experiences, as you do. And the last team I was a part of that I did life with, that I was serving God with, that I was learning with, did conflict with, I have history from that too that I bring into this place. And you, some of you have been in this church for years and years and years. Some are quite new like me. You bring in unique things too. And with our unique experiences, whether that's from our family or from our birthplace or from our culture or from our workplaces, we bring in unique things, and that kind of plays a part in how we interact with one another, yeah? And it's kind of amazing that we all get on so well with all the different things that we bring in. We all bring in different cultures. One of my repeated questions this week to people has been, so what's the normal thing here? What's the culture? How do you do this? Now, some have told me what exactly we do. Some, like someone said this morning, there's no normal, just do what you want. Okay, I don't know if that's true. But I've asked, what's the normal thing here? Because I'm aware, as groups gather together, they gain cultures, yeah? And how they start to do things manifests in a certain way. And often you'll find companies, organizations, teams, families that have one culture, and it's kind of hard to change that. But as you know, if you introduce a new dog into the family or a new child or a new aunt and uncle or your team grows by 20, as you bring people in, things can change because the culture changes with those around. When I'm with young people, I used to work with young people, one of the things that we would do often at the start is I would say, okay, in small groups, find 10 things you have in common. Because often we can see our differences. So some teams, you know, went for the easy one. We all have fingers. We all wore shoes today. You know, they would get to their list of 10 very quickly. Others might be a little bit more unique. I had ice cream, chocolate ice cream this week, and they all did. So that was one thing in common. And try to get them to a place of things in common. Well, I want to bring a passage today. We saw the verses. Hillary read it. That talks about, okay, the things we have in common, and what does that mean, and how we might live together and be together. And I'm aware as I bring some thoughts for us to think on and contemplate, you might resonate with a lot of what I say, and you think, yeah, that's what the culture is here. Or there might be some things that feel a little challenging. And I'm just going to trust that the Lord works in the midst of that with us if there's things that I share that are a little challenging. We come in with our unique histories, unique families, unique walks with Christ, personalities, but we're unified in Christ. And that unity brings a certain way of being together. Philippians. So Philippians is written by Paul. He was writing to a group of Christians that he knew. He was writing from prison. And they were an established group, so kind of like us here, an established group of Christians. And one person said this section of these few verses we're looking at could be titled The Vigorous Type of Christian Living, Self-Emptying or Self-Humbling. Self-emptying or self-humbling. So almost Emma and Jackie said this weekend, I think Girls Brigade, they talked about what humbleness meant, and everyone had different definitions in trying to figure that out. If I said self-humbling in a different way, it would be almost allowing others to be promoted and you be less, or lessening of who you are in the midst of others. When we read these verses, I think sometimes we forget that when Paul would have been sharing this letter with the group of gathered Christians there, they would have heard the message and all kind of probably responded. So when Paul says, if, that those verses started, I don't know if we can put the verses back, that might be hard to do because of my PowerPoint, but it says, therefore if, and it goes on to list different statements, therefore if you've received this, therefore if, and actually, if we would have been there, if we like picture being there, hearing these words from the letter that Paul wrote, he would have almost intended, or we could visualize the Philippian Christians nodding their heads, like yes, like he would have said, like, if you've received this, and they would have been like, yes, I have received that from Christ. And they might say to one another, well, of course we have. Yes, we have. So we're gonna try this together. I'm gonna put up on the screen. The statements, and so I just want you to, I mean, you can be vocal if you want. You can do an amen or yes, or just raise a hand, or just, and yourself a little nod. But if you agree with any of these statements, I want kind of a response, because I think that's how it would have been. Paul would have sent a letter, and they would have read it out, if you've received this, and they would have been like, yes, yes, we have. So have you received encouragement from being in relationship with Jesus? Yes. Okay. Have you found comfort from knowing he loves you?
Yes.
Yes. Have you felt connection and relationship with the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Have you experienced any tenderness and compassion?
Yes.
Through God? Then the verses go on to say, if the collective sense from the group who was hearing it, which is us today afresh, is yes, then he goes on to say, make my joy complete by being like-minded, one in spirit and purpose. We have all experienced something of the love of Christ, the work of the Spirit in our life, so therefore, we are to be like-minded. And it goes on to say, do nothing then out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. As one person said, I read a heading in one of the commentaries, and I love this. It said, the summary of these verses is, you know, if you're united with Christ, which we've just said we've experienced things that unite us with Christ. If you're united with Christ, that means you're united with others. Deal with it. If you're united with Christ, then you're united with others. Deal with it. These verses present an ideal picture of how our relationship with Christ binds us together and makes us one. Now, I've grown up in the church. I'm going to get real and candid here. I've grown up in the church. Many of you have. Some of my deepest wounds and hurts have come from the church and other Christians. Life can be very messy together. We can hurt and harm one another. And then we try to do life together, and it's painful. So the picture here, united with Christ, united with others, deal with it, is the ideal and the one we want to continue to step into. But I'm aware that's sometimes not an easy thing. It's not always an easy thing. So what's the encouragement for us? I, for a few years now, have shared this message with new students coming in to the charity that I worked with. They were coming from different places, different cultures, different families, different Christian backgrounds, and we would share this every year and say, as you come in together, the culture we want to have is one that is known for how we prefer one another in love, and that's what I'm going to offer you today. Preferring one another in love is a way that we can take the united with Christ, united with others, and kind of practice it. How do we prefer one another in love? And I'm going to give you a few pictures of what that might look like. The concept of preferring one another in love, if I take these verses, is the concept of giving honor, letting someone else take the lead, to guide others in the example of loving someone else. Success is bigging the other person up as you are lessened. Others before you. Clark's commentary says it as this, and it'll be on the screen. Consider all your brethren, all your brothers and sisters, as more worthy than yourself. And let neither grief nor envy affect your mind at seeing another honored and yourself neglected. Those are challenging words for me. Let me read them again for you. Let neither grief nor envy affect your mind at seeing another honored and yourself neglected. That's okay. One of my friends, Colin, who is passionate about this message, said these words about preferring one another in love. He said, partnership is a buzzword these days, and that's a good thing. We want to talk about partnership. As long as we know what we're really talking about, most partnership historically has actually been thinly disguised selfishness. I need you, you need me. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. There's something in it for both of us. And of course, that's not a bad thing. It's good to serve one another. It's just there's a better way. It's called the kingdom of God. And this form of partnership takes its cue from the king himself, who came not to just serve, who came to serve, not to just be served. The verses we've seen, each of you should not look to your own interests, but the interests of others. He says, based on these verses a few years ago, a phrase came to mind, preferring one another in love. In other words, it's not about just what we can give to others and not about, it's not about what we can gain from others, but actually what we can give. We can safely and securely have the attitude of preferring one another in love because we know that everyone is busy watching our backs. This is the kingdom principle. He went on to say, he imagines hell being where everyone's grabbing for themselves, but the picture, of heaven or the kingdom of God is a community committed to giving to one another. He shared a story once of being at a youth event, well, a planning event for this big youth event in a city. And like 10 different churches were there, and they all were talking about how they were going to get their young people to this event. And most people had things sorted, and this one church said, well, we have a lot of young people that want to come, but we haven't been able to figure out how to bus them in. We're struggling with transportation. And he said, another church on the other side of the table said, oh, don't worry, you can take our church buses. And they said, well, what about you? And he said, well, we'll sort that. You take ours, and we'll figure it out. And it's that picture of helping someone else succeed by giving and serving. Okay, I just want to give us a few, I have a lot of thoughts here. The goal is that no matter what we come into, what we've experienced in Christ, there's something of the anchoring of the love of God that unites us in this community. And I'm giving us the phrase, preferring one another in love is something that can be kind of the DNA culture known and how we go about loving and serving together. I'm just going to give, and I do have five, but we'll move through them quickly, five little ways of how we might apply this in daily life, what it might look like as we live and serve together. First off, we speak with grace and truth. We do away with gossip. We must be committed to not tearing down, but building up. The best churches I've been a part of and the best teams I've been a part of haven't been without conflict. Actually, they've had some good conflict there. But they've been teams that will speak well about one another. And actually, the key that I found, and maybe you can relate to this, it's not even well about one another face to face. It's well about one another when the person's not around. It's capturing those words that doesn't paint someone in a good light. Do we strive to honor one another in the words that we use? Some of us, based on just how we've lived in life or our family background or maybe our experiences with people, our ways of connecting with people has been based on tearing others down. Some of us only know how to speak well to others when we are just talking about other people. And I think that there's a challenge in preferring one another in love that we watch our words. How do your words build up? Do they build up? What are you building this community up with? How do you use your words? Number two, you let others shine. It's not about you. It's that realization or attitude that it's that you're not the answer. Years ago, I remember saying to my mom, I feel really stressed out because I don't know how to figure this out. I can't do this. And she just looked at me as only my mom can and said, well, Allison, that's why you have others around you. You're not supposed to have all the answers. Can you allow others to shine? It's not just about you. The Message talks about practicing second fiddle, the version of the Message. Practicing second fiddle, allowing someone else to shine in front of you. The story goes of a reception honoring a musician at his 100th birthday. There was a few people there who were in conversation waiting to celebrate this musician. and Lady Diana Cooper fell into conversation with a friendly woman who seemed to know her really well. Lady Diana had failing eyesight, so wasn't really sure who she was talking to, although they sounded familiar, until she peered more closely and saw that this individual in front of her was wearing like magnificent diamonds. And she realized that she was actually talking to Queen Elizabeth. Overcome with embarrassment, Lady Diana Cooper curtsied and said, "Ma'am, oh ma'am, I'm sorry I didn't recognize you without your crown." And Queen Elizabeth replied, "It was so much Sir Robert's day that I decided to leave the crown behind." Some of us have to make those decisions, choosing to let others step in front, allowing others to shine. Can you share the spotlight in community? Can you share the spotlight? Number three, we have each other's backs. There's a safe place in this community because you know others will speak well of you and stand by you. Matt and I were talking this week about success and failure. And there was just kind of an encouragement for me as we were talking of what does it mean to be with you and try to do things well, but then also be okay when we fail. How do we do when people fail? Can we trust people to not have secret attitudes that kind of are excited when others fail? Have you ever met people like that? That they say good things, but you kind of think they might be pleased when you don't do well. We need to watch our secret attitudes. Confront any attitude that doesn't scream of being for another person. We want to root each other on. Can people trust you to have their backs when they're turned, that they you are completely for them? I think that's a choice for some of us. Number four. So, we speak with truth and grace. We watch our words. We let other people shine. It's not just about us. Some of us need to be able to move out of the spotlight so other people can be first. We have each other's back. And number four, we take note of one another. And what I mean by this is, it's twofold. One is, do you, if you're like me, sometimes you're moving very quickly, and you have an agenda, whether that's getting things done or with people. And I miss things sometimes because I choose not to stop and take note. I can think this week of two times I did that. I walked away and thought, you should have paused a little longer. You noticed something, but you didn't really want to notice it. We can be like that sometimes, and I think when we don't pause and take note, we sometimes miss what God might want us to be a part of in community. That can be a time thing. That can be an affection thing. Sometimes it can be we're worried about, I don't want to be burdened by whatever's going on there. Are you willing to stop and take note? And then the other part of that, the challenge of that, is are you allowing people to take note of you? Some of us find it very easy, and this is a wonderful thing, find it very easy to serve, but not be known. I can be like that. I remember in my last church feeling a real sense of challenge from God of, oh, I was on rotos, I was serving, I was doing things, but actually I really wasn't sharing life with anyone. Are you willing for people to know you and take note of you? Is there openness to being knowing and knowing others? I think that's might be an invitation for some of us here today. What does it mean to go deeper with a few? Knowing we're not all going to be best friends and do daily life, but what does it mean to go deep with a few? We take note of one another. And lastly, number five, we give love, not rewards. Rewards are based on right behavior and right production. But love, actually, how God loves, is based on who we are, not what we do. We don't serve the other just when they deserve it. We serve the other because their identity is a child of God who's dearly loved. Tell me if you notice this. In this culture, we use deserving language all the time. Oh, you've worked so hard. You deserve that break. Oh, gosh, that's been difficult. You deserve. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't work hard and there shouldn't be some behavior we all strive for. Of course, there is. But there's something that's countercultural about how Christians can live based on the love of God that is different than those who don't know God's love. And that is that love is not earned. The love of God is not earned. And so what does it mean as we interact with one another and show grace and mercy and love to one another, and it's not based on what we've done, but rather who we are? Is your love free? Jesus' model was not based on being deserving, but he chose to serve and humble. Is your love free? So are you a builder? Do you build with your words? How do you use your words? Some of us, that's a challenge of how we use our words. For others, there's a simple encouragement. You need to use words in this community to build people up. You need to speak more words of encouragement. Can you share the spotlight? Can people trust you to have their back? Do we do away with the secret attitudes that can thrive when people don't do well? Do you take note of one another, and is your love free? I'm not gonna be perfect at this, but I'm committed to it. I'm committed in this community to try to prefer you well and love and to be challenged by these things. And you might listen and say, Allison, we do great at all these. And if so, yeah, hurrah, we're doing really well as a community who understands God's love and then is united together. But there might be some things that we can be encouraged in or grow in. And I just want to say, I'm excited for you to join me in that. And I believe that this is not just important because someone asked me once, why are you so passionate about preferring one another in love and community, like this message? And I said, one, I like to be on loving like teams and in loving churches, don't we all? I mean, yes, hopefully. So that, it just is a more enjoyable experience when we all love each other well, so that's one. But more importantly, actually, is the fact that the Bible says how we love one another is a witness to the world. Now, that can be encouraging or challenging, okay? The challenge is, oh my goodness, how we do, like, just daily life together is a witness to the world. That can be a little scary, that we have the ability to witness of who Christ is just by how we treat each other. But the encouraging part of it, that means all of us are a part of it. All of us play a part. It's not how many rotas you're on, although we need people on rotas to serve faithfully. It's not about how much you give, although we need people to give financially for things to continue well. It's not about how many times you're up on stage or you serve, although all of that helps flourish what's happening here. It's actually your choice, your daily choice in how you choose to love others plays a part in how this group of people, how us together, witnesses of who Christ is to the world. We all play a part, and we get to choose how we interact with that on a daily basis. I'm going to stop there. Let me pray. God, thank you that you love us because you love us because you love us, which means it doesn't matter what we've offered you. What we give you, you just love us. And we're thankful for that kind of anchoring love in this community. Going back to those statements, all the things we have received from Christ that anchors us. Would you help each of us figure out what is it you want to encourage or challenge us in when it comes to being united together? Would you help us to just be aware of the things you want to grow us in, how we might love others, serve others, big each other up, root each other on? Not only so that this is a place that's enjoyable to be a part of, but so that you might be glorified through all that we do and say. May we continue to be a witness to who you are, encouraging us in that. And I do, God, I just want to pray specifically, too, for those of us that have been wounded and deeply hurt by others, whether that's people here, maybe there's been some hurt here, or other Christian fellowships, would you just, in your loving way, continue to work on those wounds, bringing us more into full life with one another? Amen.